And amen. Alyssa.
Amen. Just want to share something funny that happened just a few moments ago. Pete and Joseph always pick up the offering, and we've had some really old-looking offering bags. And so I ordered some, and I thought I was ordering two. Turns out I was ordering two sets of four. And I'm like, because Leo's is like, why did you order so many? I said, well, the fine print didn't say that. But I didn't tell Joseph or Pete. So when they got them, they're like, oh, Lord, yeah. They were looking at each other like, ooh. So yes, we have new offering bags and we have spare. So when those start to rip, we got spare. We got six extra lying around. Well, it's never easy for me to, and I don't even like the word preaching. It's always hard for me to just share what's on my heart. I have a high-profile job with IDEA, and I'm used to speaking to hundreds of people and 50 principals all at once, and I've gotten comfortable and used to that. But you know what? That's not personal. That's just job. But I feel when I'm up here, it's incredibly personal. And I'm not just speaking my thoughts. I'm really sharing from God's word. Amen. So I really don't take that lightly. And I have two different sets of notes, so we're going to see which way we go today. But I know God has said this is time, and the title of the sermon today is Choose Your Path. Choose your path. Our life is a journey, right? And we sometimes get to a point where you've got to make a decision. Do you go this way? You go left or right? Which way are you going to go? And a lot of times we choose the wrong way. And there's consequences to that. Sometimes it takes you down a trail where you're absolutely falling apart. And you just don't know how to get out of it. Well, God's always the way out. Amen? Well, I'm going to tell you about two ladies that had a choice to make that were going to drastically affect their lives. And one of them, of course, is in the Bible. Got to be preaching from God's word, amen? Can't just be telling jokes. One of them is from the Bible, and the other one is me, where I had to make choice. So the first woman in the Bible is one of my ultimate favorites, strong woman of God in the Bible. Yeah. We have Bible heroes that are women, not just David and Goliath. We have women heroes in the Bible, too, girl power. So young ladies in the back. Yeah, there are heroes in the Bible that you can look to for guidance and a role model. So the first lady is Ruth. So let's go ahead and go to the book of Ruth. Her book is incredibly small. So if you go through the Bible, you might miss it. It might only be two or three pages in your Bible. But if you go to the Old Testament and you kind of go a little way, it's right after a big book, Judges. And I put my little ribbon in there because I have trouble finding it too. So if you go to Ruth chapter 1 and kind of a little spoiler alert, these two women, Ruth and myself, spoiler, we chose the right way. Okay? We chose the right path, and that path led us to freedom, and it led us to a life that we could probably never imagine for ourselves. So keep that in mind. Spoiler, they chose the right path. I'm going to read it a little bit, and I'm a librarian at heart, library, master's degree, the whole thing. So I like to do read-alouds. So let's read a story. All right, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. And the words you see on the screen may not match exactly what I'm reading. Mine's a different version, but you get the gist. Verse 2. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were, hard to pronounce, Malon and Chilion. They were, and even harder to say. Anybody got the idea? Louder? I practiced it, but I just couldn't get it out of my mouth. Yeah, they were those people from Bethlehem, Judea, and they went to Moab, and they lived there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women. Pretty much, that's a given. You're in their country, you're going to find somebody beautiful. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah. I always want to say Oprah. Doesn't it look like Oprah? Orpah and Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. I think they would say they're at the end of their journey. There's nothing they can do, right? At the bottom of the barrel, they don't know what's going on. And it's interesting to me, it doesn't even tell us why they died. But I think it's because it doesn't really matter to the story. Just, they're gone. These three women, in the times of the Bible times, probably couldn't find jobs because that was forbidden. So they were left completely alone, probably living in severe poverty with no one to take care of them. All right, let's keep going. Verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. So they're going to go back to Bethlehem. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Verse 8. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back. Just go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness if you show kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Basically, Naomi's telling them, go back, I have nothing for you. Go back and pretend that this never happened, that those 10 years of your life just never happened. Just go start over again. Ignore it, forget it, just move on. Well, here's where the decision, the journey, came to a crossroad. Well, one of them, I think, was pretty foolish, but we'll go on. She kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So Orpah decided she was going to go back and forget the 10 years. She was just going to forget her past and just start over. But verse 15, "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." And here's Ruth's decision. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people." And this is the best part. "And your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you and I." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped arguing with her. Pretty powerful. If I was in that situation, I don't know if I could have said, "Sure, I'll go with you. Where are you going? No idea. Okay, I'm going with you anyway." I think I would have been like Orpah and said, "Yeah, I'm heading back. Things look better in my mom's house than where you're going." But it's pretty impressive. So here's the two paths that Ruth had to choose. Turn to her family and try to ignore the hurt of those 10 years. Maybe even create a new life and pretend it never even happened. Or path number two, walk into an unknown future. Follow Naomi's God, who she didn't know. She wouldn't ignore the past, but allow her new God to heal her and take care of her. And we know in verse 16 it tells us, and I want to read it again. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me severely if even death separates you and I. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped arguing with her. If you read the rest of Ruth's story, you'll find out that that one decision changed her entire life's journey moving forward. Her life's journey could have been go back, try to start over, but her life's journey went down that new path, and that new path found her a new husband. And not just a new husband, but a new life, a new family, blessings. And let's read the end of her story. Let's go to the very end of the book. Let's go to verse chapter 4, verse 18. And let's find out what happened at the end of her journey. Okay, I'm guessing it's the end of her journey. It just tells us her family tree, and I think it's pretty cool. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Aminia. Thank you. Aminiadab. Don't know how to say it. The father of, oh, gosh. Just say there's names there. Then the father of Salam. Salam, the father of Boaz. And Boaz was Ruth's new husband. And Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. So I did the grandparent, grandfather, grand, great, 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 the whole line, the family tree. And if you put that all together, that means that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. The David and Goliath king. King David! If she had not gone with Naomi, she wouldn't have been the great-grandmother of the king. And I hope that she was alive long enough to see that. I think that would have been pretty cool. To see, wow, that one decision wasn't just go home or go with Naomi. That one decision was go with God or live with my pain. Am I going to rejoice and go with God no matter what? Or am I going to turn back and just live in my sorrow? And that's the sorrow, sorry, that's the decision. That's the path we have to make sometimes, right? I'm at a crossroad. There's a decision in my life. Do I live with my sorrow? Or do I turn to God and say, I'm going to rejoice no matter what. And I'm going to believe that God will take me somewhere that's filled with joy and peace. Amen? Well, now I want to tell you my story. And I might cry. So get your tissues ready, ladies. It's a pretty hard decision that I made a long, long time ago. Probably when I was 10 or 11. That I was just going to keep the secret and never tell anybody. And that was the wrong decision. Because that path took me to 30-something years. Don't do the math. 10 years old, 30-plus years. Yeah, I'm around 40-something, something. Yeah, 41. I'll just come out with it. I'm 41, people. And my birthday is coming up in April, so yeah, I'm going to be 42. Uh-oh. But I always say I'm still younger than Elias. He's 40. But he keeps saying I'm catching up, but I'm never going to catch up because he's always ahead of me. But, so yeah, so I was about 10 or 11, can't remember exactly. I made that decision to go down one path instead of the other. I chose to live with sorrow and pain. Instead of saying, God, this is yours. Help me through this. But I didn't. I tried to ignore it for 30 years. Lord, help me ignore this. And I would even pray that. Lord, help me forget this. Help me forget this. Help me forget. But that wasn't the right choice. The choice should have been, here it is, God. Tell your family. Tell your parents. Don't keep the secret. But after 30 years, I couldn't keep the secret anymore. I started having nightmares. I'd wake up crying or screaming. And Elias is like, what's wrong with you? And I wouldn't tell him because it was a secret I had been desperate to keep for 30 years. This is my journey. And your journey is like your testimony. So when I was about 10, we would go visit other pastors' homes. Well, one of these pastors' homes had a teenage son. And so mom and dad were like, why don't you go hang out with him, get to know him? Well, he got to know me way too well. And he abused me every time we went over. And I know that some of you in this room have shared your story of when you were molested and how hard that hurt you. Well, now that secret's out, I can relate to what happened to you because it happened to me. But I never told anybody because I felt this shame. And then as the years went on, I felt the guilt of not saying anything to make it stop. So I made the wrong choice. So just a few years ago, I told Elias, I said, Elias, this happened to me so many times, I can't even remember now. But I just remember the pain and the anger that just wouldn't leave my life. So I never felt like I had joy. I guess I faked the joy because I wanted people to think I was perfect. Because I'm obsessed with people thinking I'm a good person. But maybe that's because of that situation. I wanted to be good so nobody would ask questions. I would hide the pain, try to go under the radar. My parents even nicknamed me the tag-along kid because I would just tag along, being quiet, because I didn't want to draw attention to what had happened time after time. But now the secret's out. And I don't have to try to feel like I'm hiding anything anymore. So I've come to a crossroad, and I think God said, Alyssa, it's time. You took the wrong path that first time for those years. Now it's time to make the right decision and take the right path. And when I did, and I told Elias, I felt like that was the first step. But you don't just take one step and then stay stuck, because then you're still not healing. So I took another step when it was Loy, Michelle, and Joseph were all going through this training to be legally pastors as well, get pastors' licenses. And we were praying, I guess it was last summer after camp. And it was almost like I couldn't stop the words from coming out of my mouth. I just said, I need you guys to pray for me. And I just said everything. And it all came gushing out. I think it came out just so fast that by the time they prayed with me for it seemed like forever, I finally felt like I hadn't just taken one step to healing. I'd run a mile. And after that, I just sat and felt so emotionally drained. Also physically drained. I was like, what? I've just been through a battle. But I felt freedom. And I bet you that's how Ruth felt. She said, no, I'm not going to go back to the past and live with that. I'm going to take a step forward. And I'm going to go with Naomi. And let's see where this God of hers will take me. And I can tell you, our God blessed Ruth. And I know God is blessing me. Because that was just maybe a year ago, 6 months, doesn't matter. Since then, I've been able to feel God's joy like I've never felt before. Because I finally feel like I'm on the right journey. And it was so hard for me to even say this today in church. But the shame of the past, who cares, right? Who cares about what we've done in the past? Because some people will look at you and say, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, no, don't be sorry. Rejoice with me that God is alive and God is healing my hurt. That I don't have to live with it anymore. I don't have to worry about anybody finding out. Because who cares? What matters is God's in my life and I have freedom. Amen? And it was also hard being the pastor's wife. Oh my God, how do you get up and tell that kind of thing to your church? But you know what? There's so many things that have happened in Elias and I's life. So many things that we can look at people when they're going through tragedy or they're going through hurt. We can say, we know exactly how you feel. We've had a daughter go through surgeries and not know if she's going to make it out on the other side. We've had our child, our first precious little baby girl, not last very long and pass away. Now I can say to women, when they're talking to me about the abuse they may have suffered as a child, I can honestly look them in the eye and not just say, oh, God loves you. I can say, I've been there. And you are not alone. You are not a victim. You're an overcomer. Amen? We are overcomers. I want everybody to say that. I'm an overcomer. And I will take God's, I will take God's path. I will take God's path. Amen? I'm going to take God's path. I'm going to choose freedom. And I will not allow the devil to destroy my life. Amen? So in short, Ruth chose the right path. I think she probably chose the right path in a couple of minutes. Took me a long time. Took me over 30 years. But I finally chose that right path. I just want everybody to just close your eyes. Father, we thank you that when we face decisions of which journey we're going to take, I pray, Lord, that we don't take the wrong one. And that if we need to, we'll stop, we'll pause, and we'll think about the consequences of each pathway. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will convict us and nudge us and open our eyes to see that the only path we should even consider is God's path. And that we have the courage, the wisdom, no matter how hard that journey might be, that we say, I am going to turn and I'm going to take those first steps and I'm going to go down God's path for my life. Because, Lord God, without you, there is no joy. Without you, Lord God, there is no peace. Without you, our life is empty. No matter how much we try to fill our lives with other things, we are never totally free if we don't come to you with all that we are. In precious name, amen. Let's keep our eyes closed. We're going to give an opportunity that we should never pass away. Is that if there's someone that has never given their life to Jesus and they feel that emptiness, they feel they're missing something, we should always give them an opportunity to come to the front and ask Jesus into their hearts. So we're going to do that. If you need Jesus in your life, because you're desperate to feel his love and you'll feel lost without him, I want you to come up so you can feel the freedom of knowing him and feeling the past be washed away and being set free. So as Michelle sings, please don't let this opportunity pass by. Grab onto it. Grab onto God and say, God, I need you in my life. So again, when Michelle plays, if you need Jesus and you've never asked him into your heart before, please come up.